You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
From the 1st of July, anyone convicted of two or more drink driving offences within 5 years or any first-time offenders caught driving more than 3.2 times the legal alcohol limit will be subject to an alcohol interlock sentence. This is a device that prevents people who are intoxicated from driving. Laura Quigstad spoke to the CEO of No One Ever Stands Alone, Leah Abrams, on the matter, asking what her thoughts were on the recent change.
Yep. So as I understand it, the interlocks have been brought in to stop repeat drunk drivers from getting behind the wheel and stopping them from driving drunk, and that they have to blow into a breathalyzer before the vehicle will actually start. Our opinion as an organization is really that the interlock system really stops the drunk driver from becoming a repeat offender, and it's really the only device that we currently have, you know, worldwide that really stops someone who's a repeat drunk driver from driving.
How much do you think repeat offenders really account for the number of drunk driving incidents we have in this country?
Well, we haven't actually found enough research to know how much repeat drunk drivers affect crimes in the country. However, Mothers Against Drunk Driving in the U.S. actually has a stat that they've said that 1.77 million drunk drivers have been prevented from starting their vehicles as a result of the interlock system being installed across the United States. You know, obviously that's on a much larger scale than New Zealand, but we definitely know that this does prevent people from getting behind the wheel and when they've consumed alcohol.
And for our listeners, can you kind of explain what the state of drunk driving is in New Zealand currently?
Yeah, so the state of drunk driving in New Zealand currently is that we know that out of all one-third of all road deaths are related to alcohol or drug use. And, we also know that their roll toll has been going up over the last couple of years. And so the amount of people who've been affected or who lost their lives due to drunk or drug driving is increasing year on year.
The kind of counter that I believe always comes up when these kinds of systems go into place is the cost on the taxpayer of having these things installed in people's cars. How do you think that mentality is coming about?
You know what, I think we're not looking on the facts, and if we have to measure the cost of someone's life being taken or the injury sustained as a result of a drunk driver and the cost of on society and the cost to us as taxpayers, I think there's actually no comparison to having the interlock system installed with repeat drunk drivers so that we can prevent deaths on our roads, further deaths on our roads, and further injuries on our roads as well.
So this is a big step for your organization, but how do you hope to see in the next few years government take things further to prevent these kinds of drunk driving incidents?
Well, Laura, I think there's a lot of steps that all of us can take together. Our message is really simple, necessarily, is that we can all make a difference to end drunk driving in New Zealand. I think it's going to be a combined effort of stakeholders, both from government and from the not-for-profit and other special interest groups, to really come together and help to make decisions. I don't think government has all the answers on how to end drunk driving. I think one thing that, as an organization we see is really important is providing the resources for the police, so whether it's further resourcing or also providing them with the opportunity to do saliva testing at checkpoints. I see that as a really good first step going forward, and I just think there's lots more to do whether it comes to road safety, making our roads safer, and also giving the police further resourcing to help combat drunk driving and drugged driving on our roads.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.